Let's put up, there we go, right there. Let's say our vision statement together this morning. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. So we are a church on mission. Like Karen said this morning, we don't meet so that we can simply check the box that we went to church and, you know, do one of these numbers and feel good about ourselves until we feel bad again and then come back to church. But we're here, we're living a mission, we're on mission together. That's what the church is all about. Jesus redeemed the church, redeemed us so that we can proclaim his kingdom. We are redeemed people doing kingdom work, and we love it. And we love it, love it, love it. Yeah, can I just tell you, if you're sort of like, if you're in a place with your walk with God where you're just like, this is boring to me, or I'm not quite sure, or I'm feeling kind of empty, I'm just kind of feeling sort of like burned out or whatever, get on mission. Partner with God. He didn't just save you from something, he saved you for something. And when we get on mission with the Lord, and we begin to serve others, and we begin to proclaim God's kingdom to our neighborhoods and to our city and to our workplaces, we understand that, you know, that's what we're made for. That's what we're made for. And so taking a sort of a consumer approach to Christianity will leave you feeling like this is all very empty. And so when we come at it with the approach of what am I getting at it, and let me find a church that has better music, or let me find a church who has, you know, better programs or whatever, we begin to take this consumer approach, it leaves us empty, because that's not what God saved us for. God saved us to put us on mission, to partner with him. And that's why you know what? Listen, I've been serving God since 1982. And that's longer than some of you guys have been alive. And the longer that I've been serving, the more I see that. And the more I go, wow, how can I love others sacrificially? How can I do this, you know, and partner with God and proclaim his kingdom? The more I find fulfillment in that. The more I find joy in that. And so get on mission with Christ. And so, hey, if it's your first time here, thank you for checking us out. Thank you for tolerating my tirades. It can be really challenging to visit a church for the first time. If you have any questions, ask one of our volunteers. If it's your second time here, thank you for coming back. You made it. You passed the test. Or we passed the test. I don't know, depending on how you look at it. But today what we're doing is we are wrapping up our Made for More series. And so we kind of started off talking about increasing our capacity to receive from God. Wasn't that awesome? All right. Thank you, Hudson, as he solves his Rubik's Cube. He's fidgeting. So, and then we talked about defeating shame in our lives, and that was just so powerful. And then last week during Family Day, wasn't that fun? How many got in the photo booth last week? Yeah, that was so much fun. I know Emma did, probably about 8 times, right? That was awesome. 5 times? 6 times. Okay, I was close. And we just had so much fun. We talked about how we're God's masterpiece, and we left the kids' self-portraits up on the walls. But we talk about how we are God's self-portrait and that he has dreams for our lives. Today I want to talk about the future. The future. Did anybody here ever see Plan 9 from Outer Space? Yes, a couple. One? That's it? You're the only one who ever saw Plan 9 from Outer Space? Okay, a couple people. And I love, there's at the very beginning of the movie, it's considered one of the worst movies ever made, okay? It was Ed Wood's piece de resistance, you know, it was considered one of the worst movies ever made. And in the very beginning, there's this guy, and it says, Griswold predicts. And it's this guy who's supposed to be some sort of, like, predictor of the future, and he has, like, white hair, and there's a little curl right here, and he's sitting in the first words, and he goes, ladies and gentlemen, today I want to talk about the future, because it is the future where we will spend the rest of our lives. But, you know, I love that line. It's the future. You know, but I want to talk about our futures. And I remember when I was about 6 years old, I had a pretty definite idea about my future. And when I was 6 years old, and I thought about, okay, the future, when I'm an adult, when I'm in my 30s, when I'm in my 40s, I'm going to be an ice cream man. That was my ambition. I love the whole uniform. I love the little bow tie. I love the crisp white shirt. You know, yeah. So I loved going to Whitey's and you can get, you know. And but no, I wanted to be in like a Mr. Softy, and I wanted to drive. You know, have one of the little trucks and have the, because we had Mr. Softy when I was a kid. And it literally, it was the ice cream truck sold soft serve ice cream and malts and things. It wasn't just these popsicles, whatever they do now. That's not the ice cream, man. That's weird. That's drug rehab. But so I wanted to be an ice cream man. And I believe that also when I was the age I am now in the year 2000 plus, that I would probably own a laser gun. In case of an alien invasion, you need one of those because you never know when one's just going to break out. I believed, I was 6 years old. I believed I would own a jetpack by now, and that I would be able to, you know, just sort of fly over to my friend's house, all of that. I believed that by this point we would all be in flying cars. Am I the only one? Did anybody else think we'd all be in flying cars by now? Yes, it was 2000, right? I saw Blade Runner. Okay, I thought we had flying cars. I thought that our telephones would all have video screens on them. That hasn't happened. actually, yes, it has. I thought that we would have Jetson-style watches where we would kind of talk to each other with the, you know, so I'd be able to see you and talk to you on my watch. I also believed when I was 6 years old that by now I would have some form of superpower. That the technology would be there, some sort of potion would have been invented. At bare minimum, I thought by now I would be a master of kung fu. Right? Like the Iron Fist. Okay? I mean, Aaron's just about there. Huh? Or Hong Kong, yeah, exactly. With my convertible car. And yes, I thought that I would have, at least by now, I'd have some sort of superpower, some whatever. Maybe you had dreams for your future when you were younger, you know? And I think we all, especially kids, you know, they have these wonderful, just wide-eyed, the future is just so like anything can happen and anything will happen and it's just going to be awesome and it's going to be the future and it's going to be so crazy. And maybe 10 years ago or maybe 20 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, you had dreams of what your life was going to be like now, you know. And we all aspire for something, especially when we're younger, you know, then we kind of get a little bit older and sometimes we're like, wait, this isn't what I thought it was. Or this isn't what I thought marriage was going to be like. I thought it was just going to be, you know, just like romance every day and roses, rose petals on the bed. And we would just be just this one. It would be like one big, you know, 50-year honeymoon. And you realize like in 5 months it's not like that or less. But we just thought when the future came, and maybe when the future came for you, it wasn't what you expected. Maybe, you know, maybe today, maybe your happy family isn't so happy, you know, or easy, or at least going through several very long seasons of not so happy, you know. Or maybe your fulfilling career, when you were a kid, you imagined this fulfilling career, like as an ice cream man. And maybe your fulfilling career that you wanted to have is now kind of a job that you hate, you know, and kind of feels a little bit like a grind. Or maybe you feel like life is more defined today by the mistakes you made rather than by the dreams you aspired to, you know? And I know a lot of people, I meet a lot of people like that, and their life today is defined by the mistakes they've made rather than by the dreams they've had for their life. And that's tough, that's a hard place to be. But in spite of all of that, don't we sometimes even still just find ourselves dreaming? Don't we still kind of find ourselves, even when things are tough, even when our, you know, when our we just want to strangle our family and we hate our job and we've made tons of mistakes and we left just a trail of mistakes behind us, don't we still sometimes go, yeah, but you know, I'm still young enough to, or whatever, you know, still good things can happen, you know, we still dream, you know, don't we? Did you know that God has dreams for your life? God has dreams for your life. And if you're a parent here, you can probably understand that. Because, like, for my kids, you know, even though, you know, my oldest is 22 now, my youngest is 14, I still have dreams for them. I still have dreams for them. I still have dreams of awesome things, amazing things ahead of them. That you know, they're going to partner with God and they're going to proclaim His kingdom. They're going to, you know, be men of God. And I still have dreams for them. I still have dreams for my kids. In fact, I remember, I think one of the reasons God gave me three boys is because I remember before I had any children at all, sitting there thinking, you know, what a blessing it would be if God gave me boys. Not because girls can't do anything. Girls can do awesome things. But I grew up in a, you know, I went to a church when I was younger, and there were a handful of families there that if you said their last name, you would go, oh, they're such a godly family, you know. There was actually one of the Wilkersons had relationships with our church, and if you're not familiar with the name Wilkerson, David Wilkerson, you know, he went to New York City and led, you know, gang members to Christ and did amazing things. And so anytime you heard the name Wilkerson, you went, yeah, Wilkerson, men of God, the powerful men of God. And there was another family in our church who had relationships with missionaries on the field, and their last name was Sunday. And everybody said, oh yeah, the Sundays, man, the Sundays. Man, those guys, they love God, they're doing amazing things, they're proclaiming the kingdom. And there were certain names, but you know what, when you said Bazat in our church, it didn't have those same associations. It was, yeah, I think the cops were called to the Bazat's house again last night. You know, that was sort of the associations that I had, you know. And so when I got married and before I had any kids, I thought, I want boys. I want men who will grow up to be men of God so that one day when you hear the name Bazat, you're not thinking, oh, the Bazat's, were, you know, the cops were called out to the Bazat's house. Which they have been. but you would think, those are men of God. Those man, they're proclaiming the kingdom. They're loving sacrificially. They're doing amazing things. And so I had dreams for them. And just like you have dreams for your kids, and I have dreams for my kids, God has dreams for His kids. Right? God has dreams for you. And He has dreams for your life. And you know, God has dreams for us. And, you know, we were made for more. And that's why we're talking about this series. So we're doing this whole series is that we were made for more. We were made for more. And God has a destiny planned out for you, and it's greater than anything you could ever dream for yourself. So no matter how, what you can dream for yourself, God dreams even bigger. And it's greater because it's filled with God's glory. His dreams for you are filled with glory. God's dreams of you are filled with purpose. God's dreams for you are filled with favor. And God's dreams for you are just, they're filled with power. They're amazing. God has made us for more, and He has dreams for us that are just incredible. Doesn't that sound like the kind of destiny you want to live out? Doesn't it? I know some of you are going like, oh man, I want glory and power and favor. For some of you, that makes you feel a little tired. And for others of you, that just kind of sparks something in your heart. And you go, yeah, yes. Yes, when I look at my life today and I think of the dreams that God has for me, the amazing things and the way that He wants to proclaim the kingdom through me, the way that He wants me to make a difference in my city, make a difference in my workplace, make a difference in my family, that He wants me to bring His kingdom, okay? That sounds awesome. That sounds like what I want to live out, you know? And I think that the question that a lot of us face, because, you know, it's one thing to go, hey, let's, okay, motivational time. God has big things for you. God has big things for you. But it's quite another thing altogether to know how to live that out. How do we live that out? How do we walk in that destiny? How do we discover that destiny that God has for us and walk into the future that He has for us, right? Because God has a future for us, and it's our job to walk into that future. How do we walk in the future that God has dreamt for us, right? And so those are important. How do we enter that destiny? And so we're going to talk about that today, and I'm super excited, but hey, let's pray first, all right? God, we pray today that You would show us, that You would show us by Your word, that You would lead us by Your spirit, God, how to walk in Your destiny for us. God, Your plans and Your purposes for us. God, because as we walk in Your purposes for us, it's like the stone hitting the pond and causing ripples. And it brings Your kingdom, God, as we walk in Your destiny. And God, I pray that You would just make Your word come alive in us today, that Your word would transform us, that it wouldn't just simply be information, God, and it wouldn't simply be inspiration, but God, it would be transformation. God, we need You, we love You, we praise You, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so through this whole series, we've been going through the book of Ephesians. And can I just say, if you're like looking for a place to read, a place to start, if you're like, you know, I really want to get into a book of the Bible, I really want to do a study, can I just tell you, Ephesians is awesome. You could spend months just in each chapter because it's so powerful. And so I want to encourage you to get into Ephesians. If you've not read it, go into it. It is incredible. Well, we're going to read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. It says this, "Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God." We guys say inheritance from God. Oh, that's huge. Okay, we've received an inheritance from God. "For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now, you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you, and you believed in Christ. He identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit." Everybody say Holy Spirit. Yes, okay. "So he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify his name." Ah, there's so much in that passage. There's so much. You could take that one right there, those just couple of verses, and you could study that for weeks. Okay? I love the language in the scripture. And it says God's inheritance for us. I don't know if you've ever inherited something. You know, there's an inheritance involved. I actually have never inherited anything. Like, the only thing I've ever been given is, I guess, when my grandfather died, he wanted me to have his Bible. And so I got that. And it was very special to me, you know, because he had, like, 500 grandkids. Or it feels like it sometimes. You know, I think I've got 20-plus cousins just on my dad's side of the family alone. And they had like seven kids, you know, my grandparents had like seven kids. So for me to get his Bible was very special to me. But, you know, an inheritance is something very special. It's something very, and it can be something very permanent. God's inheritance, his plan for us. And it's a plan that brings praise and glory to the Father. So if you remember one thing this morning, if you remember one thing at all, I just want you to remember this. And that's that your destiny comes only through the Holy Spirit. So we're talking about, oh, God's plans for my life, they're awesome. God's dreams for my life. And we're like, oh, God has dreams for me. God has plans for me. God's dreams for me are dreams of favor and power and all those things we're talking about that I just talked about. You know, all the wonderful things that are wrapped up in God's destiny, God's inheritance, God's gift to us, God's future for us. But the only way that we will walk into that future is through the Holy Spirit. That's how we discover it, right? So we talked about how shame will shipwreck our destiny, how shame will keep us looking backward instead of forward, all right? And so we talked about that, and we dealt with shame, and now we're not looking backwards anymore, we're looking forward. But if we're going to walk in that destiny, it's only going to happen through the Holy Spirit, okay? Verse 14 tells us that the Holy Spirit is God's guarantee, right? God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance that he promised. It's through God's Holy Spirit. So it's important to understand who the Holy Spirit is. It's so important to understand who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit, can I just tell you, the Holy Spirit is not like the third person of the Trinity who retired years ago. Okay? And sometimes, you know, we get that message. You know, what? Healing? What? Holy Spirit? What? Oh, no, that was a long time ago. That was for the disciples. That was for the early church. It's not. It's for today. It's for here. It's for now. It's for this, okay? It's for our future. He is for our future. So it's important to understand who the Holy Spirit is. He's not just some force. The Holy Spirit is not just some ethereal kind of warm feeling, right? The Holy Spirit is a person. I think that if you were referred to as a feeling your whole life instead of a person, you might take a little offense to that, wouldn't you? You know? And so he is a person. And so he's not just some force, not some mist. He's a person just like Jesus. He's a person just like God the Father. He's a third part of the Trinity. And here's the really awesome thing about the Holy Spirit. And this is the thing about the Holy Spirit that we need to understand, especially when we're seeking wisdom, when we're seeking what does God want for me? What is God's destiny for me? What is God's future for me? that the Holy Spirit reveals the heart of God to us. Right? The Holy Spirit reveals the heart of God to us, and He makes everything God has for us available to us. Okay? So our future is available to us through the Holy Spirit. He makes everything available to us. All right? He reveals the heart of God to us. And so this morning, what I just want to do, I want to take a few minutes just to gain a greater understanding of Holy Spirit so that with His help, we can walk into the future God has planned for us. Because God has a future for us. Now is important, but the future is important as well. And as a church and as God's people, and if we're going to flourish, if we're going to grow, if we're going to proclaim His kingdom, if we're going to be the people that God has called us to be, if we're going to be the people that Jesus redeemed us to be, we need to understand the Holy Spirit. And we need the Holy Spirit's help. Okay? And so I want to just talk about the Holy Spirit. So the first thing that I just kind of want to explain what the Holy Spirit does and what one of His jobs is He convicts us of sin and He reminds us of the cross. That's what He's all about. Okay? He doesn't just convict us of sin. Wouldn't that be horrible if that was it? If it just ended there? You know? But He reminds us of the cross. And He's always working in us to live in a way that brings glory to the Father. Why does God want us to live differently than the rest of the world? It's funny. I was just talking to somebody this morning, and they're just going through just a real storm in their life. And they're holding on to God's promises. They're proclaiming the truth. They're in prayer. They're loving. And their whole family just thinks they're crazy. Sometimes when we live the way the Holy Spirit works in us to live, people think that we're crazy. And I just say, if somebody's not looking at you thinking that you're kind of weird for your faith, live out your faith a little bit louder. Turn up the volume. Not in an obnoxious way, not in a way that turns, you know, that's offensive to people, but in a way that lives differently than the world, right? It's weird to tithe. You know, I have friends when I was growing up that they began to tithe when they were teenagers and their parents would yell at them. What are you doing? You're giving your... Ah. You know, they didn't get it. That's a weird thing, right, to tithe. Or to love somebody who's just been a total jerk, right? Or to stand in prayer and not freak out when everybody else is freaking out, all right? And so the Holy Spirit, He convicts us of sin. He helps us to live in a better way and live in a way that brings glory to the Father. Listen, when we feel bad for living in sin, when we feel bad for doing the wrong things, that's the Holy Spirit reminding us that Jesus paid a price to have our sins forgiven, all right? And a lot of times, I've talked with people and they're like, we actually had somebody who used to come to our church who came to me and said, they're just tired of feeling guilty every time they come to church. And I'm like, I can't help it that the Holy Spirit's convicting you of sin. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel guilty. And so they left to go somewhere else where they don't feel guilty. And I just thought, well, that's that when we feel that sense, when we feel that sense like something's not right in me, or I need to maybe, you know, make some adjustments to the way that I'm living, and we feel the Holy Spirit kind of nudging us in that way, don't be judgy, don't feel guilty, I'll live however you want, don't tell me, don't get that way, because listen, that's pride, right? And we need to be humble and go, okay, Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for pointing out the areas in my life that I need to change. Thank you for challenging me to rise up to a new standard, to a new level, to a new way of living. Thank you for doing that. And those are times when we need to be humble, because if we walk through that, if we allow the Holy Spirit to do that in us, it takes us to a whole other place. And it allows God to move in us and move through us in different ways and new ways, and it's awesome and it's powerful, and I love it. Because here's the thing, the Holy Spirit doesn't just convict us of sin, He then points us to the cross, right? So it's not just, oh, I feel bad, I feel convicted of my sin. It's Jesus paid for that, and it's covered. It's covered, and I can walk in forgiveness. He does it so that we'll turn from our sin and live righteously, not so that we'll go and beat ourselves up. Oh, now I feel off. Now I'm a horrible person. Now I'm just a big mistake. Now I'm just a big screw-up. Now I can't get anything right. You know, that's not why the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. It's so that we can walk in freedom. Because every time we lay down a sin, every time we lay something down like that, you know, do you know what happens? It frees us a little bit more. It frees us a little bit more. Anybody here ever give up a habit that was just self-destructive? You know, And you know how like freeing it feels? I remember back in high school, back in my high school days, I was dating some girl I should never have been dating. You know, anybody here ever date somebody you never should have been dating? Well, almost all of us, okay. But I remember I was dating some girl I never should, we were not in the same place in our faith, anything like that. I should not have been dating her. And I dated her for like, I don't know, 3 months, 3.5 months. And I'll never forget, I was all nervous, all worked up. I got to break up with her because Holy Spirit's convicting me. Holy Spirit's working in me going, hey, you got to get, you know, break up with her. And I, you know, and all the excuses of, well, you know, I could help her live better with Jesus. I can introduce her to the Lord. Maybe I could, you know, maybe I'll be a good influence. What's going to happen if my influence comes away from her life? Who knows what's going to happen to her? She might go to hell, you know, all these things. And the Holy Spirit just kept nudging, kept pushing, just kept gently. And finally, I went and I was scared to death. I didn't want to do it, but I broke up with her. And I just remember walking away, and it was like, was I wearing a lead vest all that time? Why do I feel lighter? Why do I feel like a burden is lifted? Why do I feel released, you know? And when the Holy Spirit nudges us and kind of pushes us and we obey, it's because it brings freedom to our lives. And it makes us available to proclaim the kingdom, to walk in God's destiny, right? That's awesome. So it's always a good thing. So the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, reminds us of the cross, so that we can turn away from sin, live righteously. He doesn't do it so we can live in shame, but so that we'll look to the cross and we'll find hope and we'll find freedom. That's why the Holy Spirit does that, okay? It's a good thing. Next, the Holy Spirit cleanses us of our past, okay? The Holy Spirit cleanses us of our past. That's a super important thing because, share this, I got the next slide here. Share this, this is good. If we're going to step into the future God has for us, we have to let go of the past. It's so important. If you want to walk in God's destiny, if you want to walk in God's plan for your life, if you want to walk in that power and walk in that favor and walk in that purpose, then you got to let go of the past. You got to let go. Holy Spirit doesn't want you looking backwards. Remember, religion wants us always looking backwards. Religion's all about, oh, it's been 10 days since I've looked at porn. Oh, it's been 15 days since I did that sin. It's been 20. The Holy Spirit, or not the Holy Spirit, but the devil, that shame just always wants us looking back. Well, the Holy Spirit wants us looking forward, right? And if we're going to step into this, we got to let go of the past if we're going to step into the future that God has for us. It's so important not to live in the past. The Holy Spirit cleanses us of our past, okay? Stop letting the past define you. We can't let the past define us. Even our worst mistakes, we can't let the past and our mistakes define us, okay? We have to let what God says about us define us. Let what God says about you define you. And God, what God says about you is you are loved, right? God says you are His. God says you are adopted into His family. God says you are His masterpiece. Yeah. So instead of letting your past define you, your mistakes define you, let what God says about you define you, okay? The past doesn't determine your future. The past doesn't determine your future. The Father does. And now we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and we enter into our destiny. He moves us out of shame and into God's glory. Yeah, that's exciting. Okay? Okay, so next thing the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit comforts us in our pain. Everybody hurts. Isn't it funny sometimes when we go through a really bad time and we're really hurting, don't sometimes we feel like we're the only one? You know, we're the only one. Nobody else gets it. Everybody else is happy. Just look at their Facebook feed, right? They must be happy, okay? They're always drinking a beautifully swirled mocha, you know? They've always got their feet up reading a book. They're always, you know what I mean? Look, the kids are always together smiling, you know? You want to know why you don't see pictures of my whole family on Facebook? I will not go there. It's not about shame. You know, but He comforts us. Everybody hurts. We've all been hurt by other people. And you know what? We've probably all hurt other people. Do you know that imagine, think of the person in your life that drives you nuts. Think of the one person in your life that's just, oh, they're always getting under my skin. Maybe it's a person at work. Maybe it's somebody in your family. Maybe it's just like, oh, I can't stand that person. Did you know that you are that person to somebody else? That you are that person that gets on somebody's nerves. We all hurt somebody, and we've all been hurt, okay? But the Holy Spirit is a true friend. The Holy Spirit is a true friend. And if you're hurting this morning, can I just say, when we're done here, go get prayer. Our prayer team would love to pray for you today. If somebody has hurt you and it's been difficult for you to get over and difficult for you to move on, go get prayer today, all right? He comforts us in our pain. The other thing the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit challenges our perceptions. I love this about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we've got to let our perceptions be challenged, okay? We've all got ideas about how things should go, right? We've all got ideas about how life should go, about how things should be done, you know? Don't we? And we all probably have people in our lives that, like, no matter how we do it, they're like, well, why didn't you do that, you know? We all have ideas about how things should go, about how things should be run. Sometimes, you know, people will come into the church, and it's like everything. I don't know, I wouldn't have done it that way, you know? And it's just, those are people that are like, okay, God, are you challenging my perception? Or are you just making me mad? You know, but he challenges our perceptions. We all have ideas about how things should go. The Holy Spirit challenges those things. The Holy Spirit challenges, all of that. And he reveals the truth about who we are and the destiny that God has for us. So sometimes it's important to have our perceptions challenged. I remember even when we came into the Vineyard, having some of my own perceptions challenged, you know, and just some of the Vineyard methodology and how they did certain things. And for a long time, just kind of thinking, oh, man, okay, Holy Spirit, are you challenging me? How do I process that? How do I deal with that? That's not how I grew up. That's not how things were done in the church that I spent, you know, 10 years in or whatever. And the Holy Spirit will challenge our perceptions and challenge the way that we think things should be done. And so how do we enter into our destiny? How do we walk into it? And so we have to remember, and I just mentioned it a couple minutes ago, that Jesus didn't just save us from something, but he saved us for something, right? Jesus didn't just simply save you from your sins. He saved you because he has a purpose for you, right? He has a plan for you, and it's awesome, and it's filled with power, and it's filled with favor, and it's filled with purpose, okay? And so the only way to walk into our destiny is through the Holy Spirit. So the first thing is this. If we're going to walk into our destiny, if we're going to step into the future that God has for us, if we're going to walk in power and in purpose, we have to start by walking by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by sight. We love to walk by sight, don't we? Because faith is hard. It is. To do things that are uncomfortable, to do things that maybe induce a little bit of fear in us, things that maybe challenge the status quo in us, things that take us out of our routine, things that maybe screw up the math, you know? And so God wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. If you could figure it all out, you would have by now, all right? And we're not going to figure it all out. It's funny because I was just talking to a guy like yesterday or 2 days ago who sent me a message on Facebook, and they explained to me how they had turned their back on God, that they had denied Christ because they couldn't understand him. They couldn't understand. So they looked at Scripture and they looked, oh, God is spiteful and vengeful and all of these things that if you don't really know what you're reading, that you might think those things. You know, how could God send people to hell if he's so loving and blah 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 and all those things? And he didn't understand God. And can I just say that I can't even understand women. How in the world will I ever understand God? And you know what? Most women don't even understand themselves. How in the world are they going to understand God? You know, I mean, if we can't even understand the simple things that are in front of us that, you know, that we marry to, you know, how in the world will we ever understand God, who's so much more infinite, right? And created women and men. You know what? If we could understand God, he would cease to be God. You're never going to understand him. And so there's always going to be an element of your life, of your walk with God, that is faith. That's why it's called faith. It's not called understanding. Okay? Paul didn't say, by understanding are you saved. He said, by faith. So we're not going to understand. We got to take steps of faith, even when the math doesn't work out. We got to take steps of faith. The Holy Spirit draws us to take steps that don't make any sense in the natural realm. We live differently. We're weird people. We're peculiar people, right? And so, you know, it's weird to bless others financially when we can't afford to, isn't it? It's weird. And it always floors me when I see somebody who I know is totally hurting financially, who will reach into their purse or reach into their wallet and give somebody their last $10. Like, oh, God, that challenges my faith. That is awesome. You know, or to serve in ways that stretch our skill levels, or to serve in ways that stretch our time availability, or to pray for others when we're uncomfortable doing so. You know, if prayer isn't some, praying for other people, praying out loud for other people isn't something that is like you have practiced, it can feel really weird. But when the Holy Spirit goes, pray for that person, just do it. Even though it's uncomfortable, do it uncomfortably, right? Take a step of faith. Walk by faith, not by sight, okay? And to dream dreams that put us at risk of being laughed at, of people thinking you are weird, right? Sometimes I tell people weird just because it's an endearing thing for me. Boy, you're weird. I love it, you know? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. So the next thing is that if we're going to walk in God's destiny, is we ask, why does God have me where I am now? You ever wonder that? Why does God have me where I am right now? Okay? If you are a bricklayer, ask God, why am I a bricklayer right now? If you work in customer service and you're answering phone calls all day from angry customers, ask God, why am I here? Why have you placed me here? Okay? If you are at home with your kids all day, then ask God, why am I at home with the kids all day? Why am I at the Y? Why am I at the Y? Why am I at the TV station? Why? Why am I at 911? Ask God why he put you where you are. Okay? So you just ask, why am I at my job? What purpose might God have for me right here, right now? What purpose might God have for me over at Friendship Manor? What purpose might God have for me at the library? Why might I be where I am? That's such an important question. Because until you begin to meditate on that and ask, why am I in that? Sometimes we can just get into hating our job and not even realize that God has us there for a reason, that God has placed you there. Okay? Why am I here right now? And I believe that when the kingdom has the greatest impact is not when we all go and set up websites and start ministries. It's when we realize that God has us at our job for a reason. God has us right where we are for a purpose and for a reason. Okay? And so I love my dream for this church is one day everybody just kind of goes, you know what? I started a ministry. I'm like, what is it? And they're like, at my job. I'm at my job reflecting the glory of God. You know, I'm at my job. And just seeing you there blessing people and loving people. Okay? So ask God, why do you have me right where I'm at? And then third, if we're going to walk in God's destiny, God's purpose, we need to ask God what his dreams for you are. God, what are your dreams for me? Because, you know, we all kind of have dreams. We all kind of imagine things and imagine futures and all those things. But ask God, what are your dreams for me? When was the last time you just kind of went, God, I just want to know what your dreams for me are, and I'm just going to be quiet and listen. You know? Do you guys, you know, scripturally, when does God speak? In the quiet. In the stillness. Can I just tell you, I just want to say, this doesn't work. God, what are your dreams for me? That doesn't work. I'm just saying, if that's your idea of being quiet and being still and trying to hear from God, that's not how it works. It's in the stillness, it's in the quiet. And can I just say, that's an intentional thing. It's very hard to hear from God if our prayer time is simply the commute to work or some people say, well, I pray in the shower, and that's good, but you know what? There's a whole lot of distraction in the shower. You know, the water turns cold, we got to finish up, we're thinking about getting to work, whatever all those things are. But when we actually just take time just to sit down and take a few minutes and say, God, this time is between you and me, it's very purposeful, and we get quiet before the Lord, we start to hear him. We start to hear him. We start to feel the impressions of the Holy Spirit. Ask God what his dreams for you are, and then listen. Okay, Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, There are plans for good and not disaster to give you hope in the future. And the last thing is this, don't settle. Don't settle. Don't settle. Don't look at your life and settle. I'm not saying don't be content. Contentment's good. God, why do you have me where I'm at? But keep dreaming about what God has for you. Keep dreaming. Keep dreaming. God's got more dreams for you. D.L. Moody once said, "The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to Him." Or we'll say, or a woman fully consecrated to Him. Keep dreaming. Keep dreaming. No matter what. Even if you had a bunch of dreams and they all turned out to be turkeys, and you're just like, I'm just done dreaming. You know, I'm done with adventure. And I remember there was a time in my life, and Wendy could tell you, there was a time in our lives when we went, we're done with adventure. You know what sounds good? The Hobbit hole. You know, let's move to Hobbiton, where nothing ever really happens. Let's move to the Shire. Okay, thank you for correcting me. Don't shame me. And, you know, but you know, and if we would have followed that, if we would have stuck with, we're done with adventure, we never would have started this church. There would be no Mercy Vineyard. And so keep dreaming. Don't settle. Through the Holy Spirit, you have all that you need to walk in your destiny. You have an amazing future, and it's a future full of favor. It's a future full of God's glory. It's a future full of power, and it's a future full of purpose. Do not settle, okay? Always ask yourself, God, where can we go to the next level? And so this morning, we're going to close, but what we want to do is I just want to pray for you just for a little bit, okay? And Wendy, why don't you come help me? All right? You know, we talked earlier, you know, maybe your life isn't what you thought it was meant to be, you know? And I think that most of us have, like, over here, this side of the piano. And, you know, I think most of us have looked at our lives and went, oh, this is not what I envisioned. This is not what I thought it was going to be. Or maybe you have kind of, you're stuck with past failures. Maybe your past failures or your past hurts have kind of kept you stuck there. I know our prayer team kind of felt like that was happening with at least one person this morning, that they're just kind of stuck in the past failures, past hurts, and it's very difficult to move on. Or maybe you've just kind of lost your courage to dream. Maybe you're where I was about, you know, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, where I was just like, I'm tired of stepping out and just, you know, bombing. I'm tired of, you know, dreaming and then just seeing those dreams go, you know, I'm so tired of that. And maybe that's you. You've lost your courage to dream. Or maybe you just kind of need to experience the power of the Holy Spirit to help you walk in the dreams God given you. You know, your destiny comes only through the Holy Spirit. And so if that's you in any area this morning where you're just like, yeah, I'm kind of stuck in past failures or past hurts, or my life isn't what I dreamt it would be, and I'm struggling to continue to dream, I've kind of lost the courage to dream. If any of those things just sound like you, can we just like stand together? If that's you, if any of those things kind of fit you, just stand up, and we just want to pray for you. We want to pray with you. We want to pray that God gives you fresh dreams, that God gives you an excitement about your future, that God will just kind of brings healing balm to the past and to the past mistakes and past hurts, so that you can move forward and dream. Or maybe you're just like where I get a lot of times. Maybe you're just like, you know, I'm sick of the status quo. And I want to up my God game, I guess is the best way to put it. And that's you. You just go ahead and stand, and we want to pray for you that God touches you, that the Holy Spirit touches you this morning. Yeah? Does anybody else? Anybody else want prayer this morning? Okay. We just want to bless you. Holy Spirit's here. Holy Spirit's been here all day, just working in us and working among us. And I'm sorry, I know it's a little bit late, but I just want to let God do His work in you and through you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, just come into this time, into this moment, and be stirred up in our hearts. Holy Spirit, bring freedom. Bring freedom, bring freedom, bring freedom, bring freedom. I think the Holy Spirit wants to tell somebody here this morning that there is something that you need to do. and it's just a small thing, but you need to remind yourself every day to look forward. That somebody here, it's almost like you don't even mean to. You're trying to walk forward, but your head keeps going backward. Your head keeps going back to the past. Your head keeps going back to your mistakes. Your head keeps going back to when you were offended. Your head keeps going back to when you were hurt. And the Holy Spirit wants to tell you today, tell yourself to keep looking forward. If you have to put it on your bathroom mirror, if you have to write it on your hand, if you have to get a t-shirt made that says, keep looking forward. But the Holy Spirit wants you to do your part and to remind yourself every day, many times a day if you have to keep looking forward. I believe that's a word for